Back together again, you and I chatting it up. Brand new month, Tuesday, April 1st, 2025, right here on Connecticut Today. I opened the show highlighting a push at the state capitol to give police officers more power to stop drivers suspected of using marijuana while behind the wheel. Republican State Senator Paul Ciccarella talked about Monday's public hearing regarding that proposal for extended police powers. Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio dropped by to talk about the legal and possible monetary risks of attaching a so-called Green Amendment to the Connecticut State Constitution.
If you ever needed more convincing of something I've told you for years now, this is it. Here's what we'll start the show with today. Sheer, unadulterated, A1 grade evidence here that legal marijuana and legal cannabis products are a sacrament to the Democratic majority in Hartford. They are, marijuana is the holy communion of the left in this state. So much so that whatever they're toking or smoking or ingesting is clouding their judgment. And I don't say no pun intended there. I will say it before and I'll say it again. Legal marijuana in this state, adult use, recreational marijuana, cannabis products, THC, tinctures, edibles, whatever, that is the equivalent of a communion for progressive Democrats in Hartford. Why would I say that? Well, simply this. The police officers in this state, we've had a number of them on this show, law enforcement folks around with Melissa all the time in the morning. What is the one, not necessarily the one, but what is one of the major themes you hear from people who are trying to enforce road safety in Connecticut when it comes to marijuana? They say their hands are tied because of a stupid law that was jammed through by the majority Democrats in Hartford. Well, the police chiefs, once again, while you and I were doing our business here on the radio yesterday on a Monday, the chiefs of police, the men and women in blue, and the man who leads their organization was asking Democrats in Hartford, and I know both parties are there, but the Democrats are the ones that are recalcitrant on this because they don't want any police encounters when it comes to marijuana. But we had to have a top-ranking police chief literally go begging yesterday to the majority Democrats in Hartford to back off on their sacramental love of weed, to at least let them have some common sense law enforcement. But I doubt it's going to happen, because you have to understand, any change in marijuana laws or a law or this law or that law that would give police more power to make sure that there are not people under the influence driving on the roads of marijuana is going to be opposed by Democrats. Now, they can say, we're going to look at this, we'll study this. No, that's a no. It's not going to happen. Why do I say this? Let me present Exhibit A here. So yesterday, there was the Meriden Police Chief, Rob Rosato, who was also the head of the Connecticut Police Chiefs Association. Now, here's what they're asking. You ask me if this is out of bounds here, because when I read this to you, you're going to go, who would oppose that? Now, little loaded question there. The only people who would oppose that see marijuana as their holy communion. The chiefs are asking lawmakers, says here in the Connecticut Mirror, all right? The chiefs are asking lawmakers to pass a bill that would allow law enforcement officers to pull people over for consuming cannabis while driving. The bill would also call for a study to establish a maximum blood THC level for people operating motor vehicles. And I warned you folks, I said, go ahead and legalize marijuana, but we will rue the day that we did that without tougher penalties. But no, everybody, all the suburban white liberals had to say, oh my God, You black and brown people, you were so over-policed. Here, go ahead, do as much as you want. And now you have high-ranking police officials in the state begging lawmakers in Hartford, we need more authority to do this. I continue. Although it's illegal to drive. Now, folks, this is the part that is maddening. This is the part that makes you wonder if the entire General Assembly's majority is in high. Although it is technically illegal to drive while under the influence of cannabis, current law says police officers cannot stop a vehicle solely because a driver is using the substance. Have you ever heard anything so stupid in your life? Well, it's Connecticut, you may have. Although it's illegal to drive while under the influence of cannabis, right? Makes sense. Current law says police officers cannot stop a vehicle solely because a driver is using the substance. I know that sounds dumb. The bill that's being proposed would change that. It would allow police officers to pull somebody over if they see the driver using cannabis and smell its burnt odor. It would also allow an officer to search a vehicle, if the driver was seen using cannabis. Now, how effed up is this state right now when we have to send police officials to Hartford to ask members of the General Assembly, mainly the majority Democrats, can you please give us the authority to pull somebody over if one of our officers sees a driver using cannabis? Now, you may think, well, that's common sense, Paul. But again, when you're talking about legislative Democrats, and I have more on this, this is only going to get better. Common sense doesn't matter. This is nuts. Do you understand how screwed up we are? Do you understand? Is there any way I can make you understand even more how much the majority in Hartford looks at marijuana? As I said, it is their holy communion. Maybe they do it once on Sunday. I don't know. I put up a basic question. Should Connecticut police officers have more power to stop people suspected of using marijuana while driving? Yes. Just about everybody that sees that says yes, except the majority Democrats in Hartford. Yeah, 203-333-9422-333-WICC talk or text. Did you ever think the state of Connecticut would be so stupid? Now, granted, there are stupid people running this state. A lot of them. Not all of them are stupid, but a good amount of them. Did you ever think we would have to send the head of the State Police Chiefs Association up to Hartford and have him beg legislators to give cops more power to pull people over if they think they're using marijuana while they're driving? But right now, as you've heard from several guests on this show and on Melissa's show and on Lisa's show, the cops have their hands tied in this whole thing. And I tried to warn you about this. I had guests on 3 or 4 years ago in the run-up to this where they said, hey, cops are not going to be able to enforce this on the road. But again, nobody in Hartford cared because the Democratic majority in Hartford couldn't wait to get marijuana in the community. They couldn't. They couldn't wait to get as many people stoned as possible. Look, and I said, if you're going to do this, you better have some stern law enforcement about this, and you had better have ways of setting a THC level of impairment, and that neither has been done, and now the head, Chief Rosado from Meriden, he's up there from the State Police Chiefs Association having to beg lawmakers, please give our officers the power to if they think they saw somebody ingesting or using marijuana, can they pull them over? They can't. But we passed a stupid law just to get marijuana in the cities, get the compliant folks in the blue areas of the cities, get them stoned, so the majority in Hartford can look at them and say, see what we did for you? Oh, all those years you were over-policed. Now we love you. Go get stoned and drive. I feel embarrassed I had to put this question out there today, but people, the answers I'm getting to this, most folks are like, yeah, this is kind of obvious. Well, it ain't obvious to the people who make laws in Hartford, and that's why maybe you should think about who you vote for again in November of 2026. I know, I keep saying that, and it never changes. Should Connecticut police officers have more power to stop people suspected of using marijuana while driving? You would think the answer's a slam dunk yes. And for most people, it is. But no, yesterday, the head of the Police Chiefs Association in Connecticut, Chief Rosato, had to go up there speaking for his men and women and the men and women in law enforcement of other departments around the state, asking the General Assembly to pass a bill that, get this, who can be against this? Well, I know who can be against it. People who like to drive stoned, which, hey, call me old, I don't think that's a good thing to do. The proposed bill would change a current law that says it's illegal to drive while under the influence of cannabis, but the police cannot stop a vehicle solely because a driver is using the substance. Now, what some of the Democrats in Hartford are saying, well, you can check for pot if you stop the vehicle for something else. Now, having said that, do they realize they're also the party that's trying to change that law too, right? We told you about that. They want to reclassify certain things that can allow an officer right now to stop a vehicle into categories that won't allow that anymore. Yet here they are, on the other hand, saying, well, yeah, maybe you can use that if the person is using marijuana. Are you nuts? Are you people all high? Although it is illegal to drive while under the influence, okay, so we can agree that you shouldn't be doing gummies, you shouldn't be doing edibles, you shouldn't be token on a fatty there while you're driving. Current law says police officers cannot stop a vehicle solely because a driver is using the substance. Can you imagine that? But I warned you about this 3 or 4 years ago when this lunacy was approved. We warned you about this. Law enforcement did. All the people I had on my show said, hey, listen, they're going to pass a bill that's going to be a big, wet kiss to all the potheads out there. And they went ahead and did that. Now, could you imagine that? We're so stupid in Hartford. We are so dumb in this state that we have to make our police chiefs, our officers, the men and women who try to get the retrobate potheads off the roads, we have them now begging lawmakers to say, please let us enforce the law. The proposed bill would change the current statute. It would allow police officers to pull someone over if they see the driver using cannabis and they smell its burnt odor. Who would be against that? If you're not a pothead and you're not smoking weed while you're driving, what do you have to worry about? It would also allow an officer to search a vehicle if the driver was seen using cannabis.
Well, Paul, I don't want some cop searching my car. Well, good. Don't use cannabis.
Please, can you explain the amount of lunacy we're dealing with here? 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. How on earth Can anybody be against allowing a police officer, unless you hate the police, you're one of those the police are pigs things, okay, whatever. You stubbed your toe once and you got a bad experience. I get it. But my God, how on earth in the year 2025, in a state with legal marijuana use, can anybody be against allowing a police officer to pull over a car and search that car and check the driver if they have seen the driver using cannabis? It is mind-boggling that we ostensibly have people in Hartford who say they know what they're doing. Well, they do. They're again, like I said, it's nothing more than a big wet kiss to their voter base. We've been talking about that public hearing yesterday, yesterday in Hartford regarding that bill to kind of give police in Connecticut a little more strength in trying to spot people who may be using weed behind the wheel. Not a good thing. Talk about that is Republican State Senator Paul Ciccarella of the 34th District, portions of Wallingford, East Haven, and North Haven. Hey, Paul, it's Paul again. Been a while. How are you?
I'm well. How about yourself?
I'm good, Paul. Hey, listen, quite something, right, when the head of the Police Chiefs Association in the state has to beg the General Assembly, or at least the majority, for a little more policing power to keep our roads safe. I find that mind-boggling.
Yes, it is frustrating. I was actually there on the Judiciary Committee as well. And, you know, it's mind-blowing. And it's just such a lack of common sense. And listening to the back and forth, you know, the chief was extremely reasonable, made sense, talked about why it's important, and, you know, it might not happen. And we're going to push, we're going to fight, but there's many other reasons to pull over a vehicle is the response we heard from the majority. And I just find that absolutely mind-blowing when we see the increased amount of accidents that are happening on our roadways. I mean, clearly there has to be some correlation to the legalization of marijuana and this rise in the amount of accidents we're seeing. And it's a very reasonable and common sense goal that the officers should have, because it is illegal to do it, but we're not allowing the officers to pull them over. So, you know, people should definitely be paying attention to this and what happens with this piece of legislation.
So Paul, from your point of view, at least, the people that are against this, what are they afraid of, Paul? Do they not want more police interaction? Is that what it is? Are they afraid of, I don't know, is there a marijuana constituency, Paul? Again, what are they afraid of?
So listening, personally, I can only speak to what I've heard individuals say.
Sure, yeah.
And I do not agree with it.
Okay.
But there are a group of individuals that lobby and are supporters of the marijuana industry. And they come and they testify often. And they say that, you know, if this were to pass, that individuals who smoke marijuana are going to be targeted. But I think that should be happening. If you're smoking marijuana and driving, you should be. So, you know, their arguments don't make sense. And I think that they're saying that certain populations may be targeted for this. But again, if you're not doing it, you won't get pulled over, so it doesn't make a difference. So again, the arguments, they do not serve for a reason for this to not be passed. You have professionals that are in the industry that see it happening.
Yeah.
I mean, you go drive down a road, you're going to smell it, right? So clearly somebody is driving and smoking, and it can impair your ability to drive.
Sure. Republican State Senate member Paul Ciccarella, 34th District. And Paul, I think you said it. It's pretty basic. You can still be a consumer of marijuana. You can still have edibles. You can still have gummies. You can smoke. Just don't do it driving. I mean, my God. And I know another one of our frequent guests here, Greg Howard from the House, Paul, he has said numerous times, Let's just make it on the same level or with the same enforcement capability as alcohol, right? Everybody says, well, alcohol this and alcohol that. Well, then again, why don't we even it out with alcohol? Again, to me, Paul, it's a no-brainer.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree. I talk to Greg Howard about this all the time. We both serve on Judish, but we're also on public safety together. And it just blows our mind, the things that we're seeing coming out of these committees. And we're bringing forward reasonable solutions to solve problems that we're seeing on a daily basis and hearing from our constituents. And it's just met with terrible reasons to not do it. You know, we've seen a lot of these street takeovers. We've seen a lot of people basically running from the police. And it's happening more and more, and not only for in the process of a crime, whether it is a street takeover or, you know, they were caught stealing something and they run off, you know, somebody pulled over for a regular traffic stop. People are running at an alarming rate to the point where police departments are creating a signal so they could document how many times this happens. But it's a routine traffic stop and people just take off. And we see them taking off at a high rate of speed, causing accidents. We see it all the time. We lost one of our Connecticut officers when somebody was doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's legislation to reduce the penalty if you are in a chase and you hit someone. They want to reduce the crime.
Well, because of course, Paul, of course,
felony.
Yeah, well, because it was the police officer's fault. It's never the criminal's fault, Paul. It's never the fault of the criminal. Well, the cop shouldn't have pulled them over, or the cop shouldn't have been aggressive. Paul, this is crazy world. This is crazy time. I mean, it's mind boggling.
It really is. And what's crazy is I have conversations with my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, and we're agreeing on things. And when it comes time to vote, they vote. I'm like, wait a minute. We were having a conversation. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
How would you vote that way? Why would you vote that way? And, you know, we see that when there is consequences for actions, there is a deterrent. You know, there was a recent report that the murder rate is down.
Yeah.
And we found that individuals that were committing these types of violent crimes with weapons.
Yeah.
We're getting right back out on the street because of the way our system is developed and deployed. It's a catch and release. They make their bond, and it's a very minimal bond. And the bail bondsmen, there's no oversight. So, you know, they could say, hey, I'll give you an IOU. They get them right out. They're back on the streets doing the same thing. And we were able to pass a piece of legislation that says if somebody did commit a second serious gun charge, that they have to have a mandatory 30% cash bond.
Yeah.
And we see the individuals are now stuck in jail and they're not out there committing these crimes over and over again. And that's why there is that reduction in the murders. And that's something to celebrate. But we need to take a page from that playbook.
Mm-hmm.
When there is a consequence, there's a corrective measure, people will stop. If we're going to empower them to continue to do this, and at this point, we're incentivizing them, right? We're saying, hey, we're not going to pull you over if you're smoking marijuana, even though you're not supposed to. We're not going to pull you over.
Jeez.
That's only telling them to do it that much more.
Yeah.
And individuals that are constantly running from the police, we're going to say, oh, well, if you're running, we're going to reduce the crime if you do get a call. That doesn't take into consideration the general public's safety. All too often, we care about a small group of people and not the majority. And the majority of our citizens are law-abiding.
Absolutely.
And they're paying for it, whether it's their insurance rates, or the individuals are stealing stuff at stores, you're going to pay more for your cost of goods.
Mm.
And in the very terrible situations, God forbid your life or a life of a loved one when people are driving erratically, fleeing from the police in a stolen vehicle. And we need to do something.
It's mind-numbing. I can't understand it in this supposedly incredibly intelligent state, maybe, that we hear all the time. Republican State Senator Paul Ciccarello. Paul, good to chat with you. We'll chat down the road. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Well, there you go, folks. How would you feel about a green amendment? Yes, an amendment to the Constitution of the great confused state of Connecticut saying, hey, everybody in the state has a right to a good, clean environment, like you would argue the other way. But there are some people in Hartford that want this put into the state constitution. A lot of people say, well, hey, what are the downsides of this? It begins and ends with money. Megan Portfolio covering that for us. And the Hartford Portfolio, Yankee Institute. Ms. Portfolio, good afternoon. Good to have you on. How are you?
Oh, this is the best part of my day, so I'm great.
Well, that's good. Thank you. In fact, your name came up in conversation, I must say, before we get into this. A couple of hours ago before my show, I was talking to one of my bosses, had a little weekly meeting, you know, and I said, hey, you're coming on today. And he said, oh, yeah, it's a good segment. And I said, and my boss said, does she actually read all those bills? Pay? I said, yes, she does.
Thanks for making me look like the biggest dork ever.
No, because my and then my boss looked at me and goes, oh, my God. I said, yeah. Oh,
I'm a little behind. There's like about 3,000 this year.
Oh, man. OK, so your level of level of adulation just went up in the building. The Green Amendment. So talk a little about this now, because on the surface, Megan, hey, it sounds great. We're going to guarantee people a clean environment in the state. But where's the devil in the details here?
Oh, yeah. And actually, the Greens have been doing I got to give them props. They've been doing a fantastic job, like branding it and marketing it.
Yeah.
Just like you said, like we should have a right to clean water and
sure.
clean air. But here's the problem. The Greens have been trying for the past few sessions to get major legislation pushed through, like the Green Monster last year. And they're just not. The legislature is just not delivering for them, and they're not happy. And they're like, you know what? Let's let the courts do it. Maybe mm-hmm. we'll have a better shot. So you explained it pretty well. It just declares that each person shall have an individual right to, you know, clean and a healthy environment.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes the states, it makes your local municipalities basically responsible for the resources in the state. And if they aren't maintaining them or protecting them the way people feel that they should be protected, they have a right to sue. So, you know, you and I can sue the government, you know, you be as creative as you want. We can ban, you know, gas cars
mm-hmm.
because, you know, they can say it's attributing to asthma and, you know, the urban areas. But there's some good news and bad news on this. This is something that's been going on around the country.
Yeah.
There's a lot of well-funded people pushing this from the legal end and from, like, the activist end. And they're just trying to go from state to state and try to get, like, these outsiders are trying to get us to implement it.
Yeah.
There were two states right now. I can't remember how many have it. But there were two states that had major lawsuits, Montana and Hawaii. They both have green amendments, and they won. The case in Hawaii the plaintiffs, you know, said their constitutional rights are being violated, and the court sided with them, mostly because their attorney general didn't really fight hard to protect the state. So the plaintiffs won, and it's actually costing them right now $40 million because now they're being required to install all these car chargers, and then they have to do all these other infrastructure upgrades. So you're probably looking at, you know, hundreds
of
millions
course.
Of dollars.
Of course.
Hawaii. And in Montana, it hasn't really come out how much it's costing. I haven't been able to find it, but it was a similar situation. They're right. They felt their rights were being violated. They sued. The courts sided with them. There was a law on the books in Montana that prevented state agencies from considering carbon or greenhouse gas emissions in doing projects,
yeah.
you know, like road projects or
sure.
upgrades to buildings.
Yeah, yeah.
So now they're allowed to do that. So we haven't even begun to, like, know the damage that's going to cause for the taxpayers.
So
that's the doom and gloom.
Yeah,
but there's some good news.
Yeah. What's the good news? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, so the good news is there's been this, like, decades-long case, Juliana versus the United States. A bunch of kids decided to sue the government because of their how they're using fossil fuel and encouraging fossil fuel, and it's hurting the environment, and it's been through all the court systems. And then finally, it got to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, yeah, no, this is no place for
Thank
the judiciary.
God.
This is absolute the legislature. That's their responsibility. We don't have, you know, purview over this. So hopefully this is the trend, but it's hard to say because, like I said, we have these very well-funded groups going around the country pushing for this amendment. And, you know, if we get that, let's just say we have this attorney general who happens to be like an activist type attorney general who maybe is friends or you know, gets support from environmentalists, gets
mm-hmm.
campaign support from environmentalists. He can do this thing that's called sue and settle. where the plaintiffs will sue and he just settles. This actually happened at the federal level under the EPA.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is great. So what the environmentalists were doing, they were suing the EPA. Oh. There was a friendly attorney general, and he was just settling the cases.
He's rolling over. It's called rolling over.
And so no one knew about it because they were just settled. And so what was happening is the EPA was forced to change all these regulations, and it cost the taxpayers on the country hundreds of millions of dollars,
of course,
because all of these little deals were done in secret. And that's what they want to bring here to Connecticut, because they can't get it done at the legislature.
Yeah, and exactly. And Megan Portfolio is the guest from the Yankee Institute. Megan, that's the thing. The reason this is happening, and you and I both know this, but just telling folks, there are, unfortunately, we hate to say it, there are a lot of spineless people in the General Assembly who, even if they're pro-green or anti-green, they won't have the spine to stand up there and go on the record and actually vote on specific proposals because, oh my God, I may not get elected again. So let's foist this on the people and cha-ching, everybody turns into an ATM. It's unreal.
It calls into question, like, why are you even a legislator? Like, this is your job. You said you wanted to represent whatever area you live in at Hartford, at the Capitol. And you're taking your power and giving it to the judicial branch. Why are you even in office? Like, don't waste our time.
Because they get $45,000 a year, plus the extra stipend for mileage, plus the leadership stuff, and they basically work 4 to 5 months a year. That's why.
Oh, you reminded me. I have to do my yearly FOIA. I love to do my yearly FOIA of how much they've been spending on mileage, and they send me an entire spreadsheet broken out by lawmaker.
Oh, they do? Really? How about that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so basically, what are the – if you were a betting woman, I'm not saying you are or you're not, but if you were a wagering person – can't call you a woman. It's what is it now? Those who give birth or something like
that. No, you please do. I'm old. I like things to be basic.
Okay. If you're a betting woman, what are the chances this ever happens?
All right. So I've been fighting with the government for many, many years in Connecticut and out of Connecticut.
Yeah.
If the people don't want this, I mean, I don't want it. I don't think other people want it.
Mm-hmm.
If we fight back, they cave. Like you said before, a lot of them are spineless. So, I mean, it's really up to us, the people. If this is something we do not want in the state, we need to contact our lawmakers. And I know I say that a lot and people like roll their eyes at me. I have been on the winning side of so many battles with the government where we are the absolute underdog, where we're against the unions, we're against big oil, we're against the politicians, like all of this big money, and we're just regular citizens, nobody special, and we band together and we won. Like, look at tolls. We were just regular people.
Yeah.
And we fought back, and everyone wanted it. Everyone had their hand out and wanted all that money, and we were like, no, because we're the ones paying it, and we can't afford it. And we won. So, I mean, every time the people get together and stand strong, we're able to, like, you know, push all this stuff off. Even these well-funded far leftist groups that are trying to come in here and do that to us. So if I'm a betting woman, I say, if the people stand up, it won't pass. They've actually tried 2 years in a row and it hasn't passed. Yankee Institute has been fighting this since day one. So what happens is, since this is an amendment, and this is another thing that your listener, hopefully I have enough time, should know. So when they do these amendment things, it's just a question.
Sure.
So it has to pass by a supermajority of both houses for it to go on the ballot. If it doesn't, it has to go just get a regular majority vote 2 years in a row, and then it goes on the ballot. So what we see is just this question, and it'll say something like, do you think Connecticut should add to its constitution the right to a healthy environment?
Yeah.
The answer is yes or no.
Of course.
Then
people, I know,
it passes. Then it goes back to the devil, devil in the details. It goes back to the legislature, and then they make the bill. So we're saying yes, but we don't even really know
exactly
the extent of what this bill is and what powers it's going to give the judiciary or anyone.
Yeah,
I don't really like that process very much.
As I always say, the initial questions are like just getting the keys to the car. Here are the keys. Enjoy yourself. Yeah, it's not the actual process.
Great. And I have to remember that.
You
like
that. You can put that as a reference in one of your pieces. There you go. All right, read all the present and past editions of the Hartford Portfolio at the Yankee Institute. .org. And we thank Megan Portfolio once again. Have a great week, Megan. We'll talk to you next week.
I forgot something, Paul.
Yeah.
It's very important.
Okay.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Thanks, Megan. Appreciate it.